Well, thank you so much, Mary, for joining me. I appreciate your time.
Sure, I'm glad to be here.
You're going to be presenting at the Organic Grower School Spring Conference and talking about local food shed. And I first, before we get into that, I kind of want to get a little bit of your background so our listeners understand where you're coming at from food and where your interests lie.
Yeah, well, I'm an edible landscape designer myself. I'm a gardener. So, you know, obviously through my work, I'm constantly thinking about the connection of food and land and place and people. So over the years, doing this work and doing permaculture design and working in the sustainability area of agriculture myself, I constantly think about this, you know, what is the one of the missing ingredients in terms of us living more sustainably? And time again, I feel like it's our estrangement from where the basic materials of our lives come from, because now it all comes from the supermarket. Like the classic saying about food is that, you know, food comes to us wrapped in plastic in supermarkets. And so the sense of, oh, I should be a steward of the land where this is grown is not as easy when you don't even know where it came from. So there's that aspect of feeling like for us to start understanding our surrounding bioregions, our surrounding landscapes as something that we are invested in because we eat from it is one idea. The other side is just the pure pleasure of eating food that's fresh, eating food that's more interesting than just the basic couple of varieties you can find at the grocery store. Food that has a real story. Mm-hmm. So for me, since I've started exploring local foods, my kind of culinary life, quality of life has just gone way up.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's sort of an adventure.
Yeah. When you have more things to work with, you get outside your comfort zone, if you will.
And
start preparing food in a very different way and eating in a different way too, I think. You know, I've been, and I should... in full disclosure, I mentioned that I'm a farmer as well. And so, you know, I'm eating a lot of the food that we grow. I don't usually go grocery shopping during the season because I don't need to. But it does challenge you, doesn't it? It's not as easy as some people might think. Oh, I want to just eat locally. Eating locally also means eating seasonally. And that means you don't get avocados all year long, or you don't, have tomatoes all year long.
Yeah, so it means you need to shift your habits a bit, and that can always be a bit of a challenging process. Also forces you kind of to stretch your imagination. For me, one aspect of it has been in trying to eat more locally. You know, I had a set of recipes that I was cooking, I was accustomed to eating, and then I started to think about, okay, I can't get this ingredient locally. How would I substitute that? Or, you know, maybe I can start creating different recipes around what is around. But it definitely has shifted my mind completely to thinking in terms of seasons. And it has become sort of second nature at this point where, you know, well, in the winter I eat berries that are frozen in my freezer, but it doesn't feel natural anymore to eat zucchini or tomatoes in the winter. There's so much else going on. And that's one of the benefits of doing local food experiments in an area such as ours, is that this is an incredible place to explore local eating. Southern Appalachia is one of the most biodiverse regions in North America. There's so much going on here in terms of just, you know, food that can be grown, varieties, people who are into food and growing that, there's a lot that's possible here. And I say this as someone who grew up in Finland, and my grandparents were farmers. My parents were not. But, you know, they in their youth, they were subsistence farmers eating from the landscape, and it took an immense amount of inventiveness and resourcefulness just to get through the year eating mostly locally. So for us, it's easy. But given that, you know, us moderns, we've become so estranged from the basic habits and skills of cooking from scratch and having that inventiveness, it takes some practice.
Yeah.
Some learning.
What kind of strategies do you suggest for people who might want to eat more locally or find food or grow food, what kind of strategies would you suggest for them?
I have a few in mind. I think the main thing, the starting point is the mindset. And I think it's really key to remember that you start where you are. And not, if you are currently eating mostly from the supermarket, don't say, okay, tomorrow I'll start eating 100% local, because it is hard, and it then you'll just become discouraged. So rather think in terms of gradual changes you can make. So if the next step for you is just going to the farmer's market and exploring, or making your first ever 100% locally sourced meal, just do that. You don't have to feel like you have to shift everything local right away. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I'm really into maps and lists. I sort of tend to be, I'm a researcher by training. So when I started wanting to do these periods when I ate 100% local, I just started drawing up lists and figuring out, okay, who are the farmers in this area? And is there, can I find locally grown wheat or locally processed wheat? And how could I meet this particular need? Oh, there are these mushroom growers, or a guy who makes local balsamic vinegar. So it's, a lot of it is just research and exploration.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's beyond just vegetables then, or fruit.
Yeah. It's beyond vegetables. Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on what a person's dietary preferences are. Obviously, if you're vegan, it's a bit harder to get all your proteins regionally. I will say that it's very easy. Well, it's doable for omnivores, is what I would say. But yeah, there's animal proteins in our area. There's condiments that are made locally, grains, so carbohydrates. We have oils and fats. We have this awesome nut initiative called the Asheville Nuttery in our area. So that's food from trees in our area. Not to mention the fruits and berries, and yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot you can do.
Yeah, what kind of resources are you using to find these local producers, and what would you suggest people do to find local folks and local growers?
Yeah, the most delicious way, one that involved all the senses, is to go to a local farmer's market and just walk around, and talk to people. You get in all the sights and the sounds, and you see the colors of the food, and just start taking note of who's here, what are they growing, and there's that person-to-person connection. You can actually talk to the farmer mm-hmm. about their farm and their growing practices. Another one is ASAP. The organization publishes this local food guide every year, which is a really convenient resource. You can look at your region and say, like, okay, here are some pick-your-own farms. Here are the apple orchards, here are CSA farms, and you can figure out which ones of those you'd like to explore or are most convenient to you.
And there's also a whole local food movement, you know, within restaurants as well.
So you don't have to. So the farm to table restaurants.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You don't have to, you know, cook all this yourself at home necessarily to eat locally either.
Yeah, and we're lucky to have, you know, within Asheville's vibrant food scene, there are so many chefs and restaurants that are really excited about it. Yeah.
So all of that said, it's really about eating within your food shed, eating within your area.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked necessarily about why that's important, and I'm wondering if we could back up and do that.
Yeah. So people who are not familiar with the term food shed, being used in the local food movement as sort of analogous to a watershed, it's just a geographical region from within which your food is sourced. So, I mean, there are, local food eating is trendy now. Everybody likes the sound of it. But as we've talked about, there also, it's not as easy just to get started. But there are pretty good motivations to do that. So one is just, talk about the freshness of food. So for example, just the, fresh always tastes good, but also we know now that the nutrients in, say, produce start to go down in many, many crops pretty much as soon as they are harvested. So even though we think of, organic California-grown broccoli in the supermarket as mm-hmm. a super healthy food, it won't have the same nutrient quality as something that was harvested by a local farmer that same morning. So one is just health and the quality of the food. Another one is economics. So sort of, it's sort of a no-brainer that buying locally and giving those dollars directly to a farmer keeps more money in our local economy and local communities. The third one that to me is really important is the sense of connection, because I feel like in our current industrial food system, that sense of connection to where food comes from is so eradicated and so thin. And I think we're secretly craving for that sense of connection. That's why people love going to the farmers market, because we get some of that back, something that our past generations used to have. So knowing like where this ingredient came from, or knowing, oh, it was this particular heirloom seed, you know, developed by this grandma at this at this cove, or you know, I got these green beans from a friend who tended them all summer long. It tastes different, and it starts to, it's really hard to explain how that starts to change your sort of your experience of the area, of the land around you. Mm-hmm. But I feel that it makes a strong sense of connection both to land and then to people. And we've seen this during the COVID crisis too, because, you know, obviously COVID-19 was a bit, you know, hit all kinds of businesses, but it was a challenge for many farmers who suddenly, when restaurants shut down, they lost a major buyer and had to retool. And for us during this time, to keep supporting local farmers and making that investment helps to keep them in business, which then makes our region more food resilient and food kind of self-reliant in terms of having lots of different kinds of crops.
Yeah, that reliance you're talking about, it really mm-hmm. became apparent also during the COVID crisis, because we saw our food chain disrupted in significant ways. And you, if you are a grocery store buyer, you know, there were things off the shelf and you couldn't find them.
Exactly. And it was, yeah. And in last spring, the CSA shares for many farms shot through the roof, because it was this wake up moment for people. And they turned to, okay, where's the food in my area? Where is the food near me? If the grocery store shelves are empty or I can't get there.
Mm. Well, it's great work, or knowing you, Mary. I'm glad that you're able to kind of give us a little preview of your talk at the Organic Grower School.
Yeah.
But I also I'm really excited about some of the other work that you're doing. I know you mentioned the carbon sink. Do you want to just quickly talk about anything else that you have your hands in?
I always have my hands in a lot of things. That's just being a gardener and homesteader. I'm in the beginning. I'm working for a new regional initiative, basically connecting to what we've just been talking about and connecting, you know, our region's people's food and where our nourishment comes from to the issue of climate and climate resilience on our farmlands. So I'm in the very early stages of an initiative I'm developing with a partner called Carbon Harvest. And our goal is within the next year or so, we'll be able to launch a kind of a pilot regional carbon credit market, carbon offset market, that sequesters that carbon on working lands and, you know, basically land that grows food in our region, because practice called carbon farming, or set of practices rather called carbon farming, is techniques and practices that can be implemented on farmland that store carbon in soil much more than they would if you didn't implement these practices. And so they have the potential of being actually carbon negative and helping to slow down climate change. Mm. So that's something I'm super excited about. And there's also a tremendous potential and also a lot of work to be done.
But, yeah. Oh, wonderful. I'm glad you're doing that. And if folks do want to learn more about you and or I know you are a food writer as well, how can they find more information about you, Mary?
Yeah, my my personal blog and website is called makegathergrow.com, and that's where I write a lot about local food and gardening and making things from scratch. And on Instagram, it's just makegathergrow. And then Carbon Harvest website, this new initiative, is carbonharvest.co. So people could check it out and learn more there.
Great. Anything else you want to add before we let you go?
Well, I hope I would love to see lots of people at the Discover Your Local Food Shed workshop at the Organic Grower School. And in general, I hope many people will make it to Organic Grower School. They have a great lineup of speakers and workshops. And I hope as many people as possible will be able to grow some gardens this spring and or find connection to local food in other ways.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, KP.
You bet.